Welcome to episode 87 of Anime and Us. I'm TJ.
And I'm Sean.
And this is the review show that reviews anime from A to Z, sort of.
Alright, so last episode we spun the wheel for my choice since it's the end of the... We did spin the wheel. But we spun because it's my pick since it's the end of the alphabet. And I had a D&D theme. We got Goblin Slayer, which is really D&D appropriate, but we'll get into all that. Real quick, the wiki is... There's a lot going on and a lot of different guys here. But hey, you're going to listen to me mispronounce it. Goblin Slayer is a dark fantasy light novel series written by Kumo Kagyu and illustrated by Noboru Kanatsuki. A manga adaptation by Kosuke Kuroso, something like that, is serialized by the monthly Big Ganon magazine. A second adaptation by Masahiro Ikeno runs in the same magazine. So there's two different adaptations of mangas based off of the light novel. Two different adaptations running in the same magazine. That's weird. Yeah. And then a prequel is made by Kento Ida. Also runs in that package, or in Young Ganon, not Big Ganon. Both novels and the manga adaptations have been licensed by North American publisher Yen Press. Something about CDs, anime television series with adaptation by White Fox aired from October 7th to December 30th, 2018.
Yeah, I didn't realize it was so new.
Yeah. Oh, and an anime film titled Goblin Slayer's Goblin's Crown for February 1st, 2020, but it premiered. I don't know if that's out or not yet. That sounds pretty cool.
I think it is out. I didn't watch it, obviously.
Yeah, we didn't watch that.
You have to go to movies.
Yeah, my bad.
So this is bad audio, but hey.
You can cut it out and post.
I know.
It's subbed. It's not dubbed at the
moment. Right.
That is what it is. We'll wait for it to be dubbed, and I'll definitely be watching that.
Yeah, I mean, eventually. The second season should be coming out soon, too.
Yeah, I would assume. I'll have to look it up.
I did look it up briefly. I don't know when, but it should be coming out soon, and especially after, since at the end it did a James Bond with Goblin Slayer Will Return.
Yeah, that was, I kind of like
that. So
this is my second time watching the whole series.
Mm-hmm.
And I gotta say, there were some problems I didn't quite realize the first time.
I picked up on some problems.
Mostly just dialogue, though, yeah. I think. Now, half of the problems in the dialogue, I think, can be explained really easily.
Okay.
So, do you want to go over premise first?
Go over premise.
Okay, well, we'll go over the issue with the dialogue in a moment. So, premise is, you're set in this D&D-type world where there's all different kinds of monsters and different factions like elves and dwarves and humans.
Yeah, I mean, it's actually pretty D&D accurate, honestly.
Yeah, I really like
that. It's not like other D&D type things where they try and twist it with different kinds of things to make their own lore. It's kind of just D&D.
It did a little bit, but that's mainly with like the goblin ranks.
Yeah.
But I think they did that because it's kind of hard to make a show about only little goblins.
Well, there's also the fact that, you know, there's different kinds of... There's not just D&D, there's like Pathfinder and stuff
that. So if you're going with strictly Wizards of the Coast goblins, it doesn't really make sense.
I mean...
But there's different lores for goblins.
Yeah, and at the same time, there are about 1,000 different goblin types of monsters in the actual D&D lore. It's just...
Yeah.
It just depends. But yeah, you can't have a single antagonist like goblins and not have different kinds. But to be fair, you know, goblins and hobgoblins and all those things are in the same ranks. And I'm actually surprised they didn't put...
I take it just as like a creative interpretation.
Right. I mean,
you know what I mean?
They weren't...
It's not like outrageously...
They were pretty close because, I mean, there are obviously goblins and hobgoblins.
Yeah.
Hobgoblins actually look different in D&D.
They do. But what I'm saying is I think they just creatively interpreted it a bit differently.
Like ogres are in D&D too, but they're not really... They work with goblins, so that makes sense. Mm. The bugbears are technically goblins too, but they're not in this. But, you know.
And, like, creative interpretation. I just go with that. They don't go outrageous with it. It's just kind of a little bit different.
Yeah.
You're set in this D&D world, and the main character's name is Goblin Slayer.
Yeah.
Self-name. He has an actual name. We just don't know it.
Yeah.
But,
Well, they said in the show that he didn't... That's what they call him.
People started calling him that, and he just called himself that now. He went with it.
Yeah, he didn't name himself that, though. You can't give yourself your own nickname.
You can.
You're
a bit douchey. Whether it's a cool or bad nickname, you're still a bit douchey if you give yourself a nickname.
Yep.
And he's an adventurer in the guild. I don't know if there's other guilds or not, but it's the guild.
Well, it's the guild of that city. From what I got, there's an adventuring guild in every city.
Yeah. So I guess, like, some, like Grimgar, for instance, is an anime. And in that anime, there's different guilds for each class. So, like, if you're a thief, there's a thief guild.
Oh, right.
And that's how it typically is in D&D. But this makes sense, too. One guild, everyone knows their business.
Yeah, it's simplified.
Mm-hmm. So there's a guild. He goes there. He's an adventurer. There's different ranks. He's silver, which is fairly high up there, but it's not.
Yeah, it's not platinum.
They say it's the highest you'll find out in the field. They said that in the very beginning.
Oh, you're right.
So, like,
right.
All the other higher rank ones you see in the last episode, you see them throughout the show, but you don't see them fighting until the last episode. They're all silver as well.
Well, there's a few platinums and golds out there. There's,
yeah, like, they are. You just don't really see them.
Yeah, but the platinums are reserved for, like, the heroes that save the world.
Yes, which is, so essentially, this is the story. He's a goblin slayer, and he just only goes after goblin quests.
Yeah,
and it follows that. But that's obviously for obvious reasons. I'm going to say obvious a lot. Is very small scale.
Yeah.
And what I really like about this is that know for a fact that there's bigger scale things happening.
Yep.
He just doesn't give a f***.
Right. Yeah, now there's a whole other antagonist that showed, like, twice throughout, a protagonist, I mean, throughout the show, that's shown throughout the show, like, two or three times, who's, like, the main hero.
Yeah, he's going after saving the world. They even say that in the last episode. Oh, we just saved the world. It's a good thing the goblins didn't take over the town while we were gone.
They stopped a demon lord and demon horde, and the goblin slayer is just like, well, who's going to stop the goblins if, well, they're all saving the world?
Which makes sense. Regular people are going to die if you don't.
Someone's got to do the little stuff. Mm-hmm. So
now, the dialogue. Premise is done. Now, his specific dialogue from Goblin Slayer is pretty much atrocious. It's bad. It's just, oh, I'm killing goblins.
Well, his dialogue is a series of, blah, 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 is a set of, like, six words.
Yeah.
So, he doesn't say much.
And, like, three-letter words around those six words.
It's like, I see, or...
Goblin, where's the fire?
Yeah.
But, and that really is his dialogue for pretty much the whole show, but it's easily explained.
Right.
Because you don't even hear him talking about it, but you hear everyone else talking about how he's crazy.
Yeah.
And then they go into his backstory a little about how his family were murdered by goblins, his entire town was raped and murdered.
Uh-huh.
And then he was trained by goblin?
I don't know. They didn't get into it.
They didn't get into it at all, but they did show this figure who looked either like a really, really disfigured old man or an old goblin.
But he was training him to kill goblins. He looked like a goblin, but he was a different color, so I wonder
if he was like gray or brown.
Yeah, he wasn't the green like all the other goblins, so I wonder if he's a different kind of thing.
Yeah, so, but his dialogue kind of makes sense because he's fucking crazy, and they all talk about how crazy he is all the time. And you'd see that. He doesn't care about anything else. So, for instance, if there's a quest for killing rats in a sewer, which is, I think, one of the things that happens.
Yeah.
And, you know, some of the little newer adventurers go after him. And someone's talking about it, and I think the blonde girl's like, hey, you want to go help them or go after that? And he's like, are there goblins?
Right.
And she's like, no. And he's like, why the f*** did you mention it? Like, what's wrong with you? There's no goblins, essentially, is how it
happens. But it's even worse than that, because it's not like they pay him to kill the goblins. If there's goblins, he'd do it for free.
Yes.
So
he just wants a quest to make some money, but he'll just do it.
As long as the goblins are there, it doesn't matter what kind of quest it is, how dangerous it is, he's going to do it. But if you ask him to fight a dragon, he's like, is there a goblin involved in it? No? Okay, then no.
So, yes. So, in my opinion, half the problems with dialogue are explained and kind of make sense, and that doesn't bother me too much.
All right.
The other half is fucking terrible,
Hold on. Before you go any further than that, you only explain half the premise.
What's the other?
Because the first half of the premise is a group of new adventurers start out in the first...
Oh, yeah, well, we'll get to... We're just...
But that's the other half of the premise.
I think that's, like, episodes.
No, because... that's where he meets his partner, essentially, and she's the other half of the priestess.
Cleric.
Yes, the priestess.
So in the first episode, you don't even see Goblin Slayer until the end of the episode.
Yeah.
You're inside the guild, and you see a couple adventurers that are clearly new, pick up a quest to go kill some goblins in a cave, and they get a cleric to tag along.
Because goblins are easy.
Yeah, goblins are easy. Which, if it's not something that's publicized, I would think goblins are easy, too.
Yeah.
That's usually a starting monster in any video game.
Yeah.
If, I mean, you know, you might go after, like, a dog or a fox or something, and then goblins.
Yeah, but you don't go into a cave of goblins.
It's true, but they're also new. And the cleric, not the cleric that they recruit, but, like, the guild person that's handing out the quests.
Okay, yeah.
Even tells them, like, you might want to go for something a little easier.
Yeah, like rats or something.
But they want to do what they want to do, and it's not really her job to tell them no, I guess.
Right.
So they you know, they get the cleric, who's the blonde lady, I forget her name, and she's, like, maybe 15. She looks pretty young.
Yeah.
And they, you know, they're going to the cave to kill some goblins, and all of them except for her and one other character are raped or murdered by these goblins, because they don't actually know what they're doing inside of a cave fighting specifically goblins.
So there's four characters that go in. Two of them get murdered.
Three females?
Three females, one guy. The fighter guy, he gets chopped to pieces and killed.
Well, what's great about him is they do a little practicalness. He has I wouldn't say a long sword, but a longer than a short sword, or longer than a small sword, which is what you would want inside a small cave. So he goes to swing it, and it hits the rocks, and then all the goblins jump on him.
Yep. And then there's another girl that gets mortally wounded.
Yeah. Pretty early.
And then the other girl, they don't kill her, they just rape the shit out of her. It's graphic.
You're not actually seeing nudity, but you're seeing damn near everything.
Yeah. But I find it funny, because this series starts off very, like...
very dark. Very, very high intensity.
That's not what I mean. It starts off misleading, like it's going to be your average fantasy. Yes.
Well, I'm kind of going that too. I see what you mean. So the beginning of the episode, and probably half the episode is like that.
Yeah, it's
very misleading.
We got this group of kids.
It almost feels like Dragon Ball, where it's like, oh, let's go adventure.
Yeah, we're going to go on an adventure. Nothing's going to happen. We're going to kill these goblins, and then everything turns to hell.
And then it turns to hell. But also, at the end of the episode, or towards the end, it gets extremely dark because you're being raped and murdered, and they're showing quite a lot of things, and you're seeing the terror. And the priest, the cleric girl, the blonde one, she ends up pissing her pants.
Uh-huh.
And it's like they're really good at it giving you that terror and that fear, and then it kind of doesn't really come back.
No. It was very much there.
Although I would say it's somewhere in the middle between the beginning of that episode, which is happy-go-lucky, and the end of the episode, which is grimdark. The rest of the show is somewhere in the middle.
Right. Because the thing is, the rest of the series follows the Goblin Slayer.
And he's good at killing goblins, so that probably wouldn't happen again.
There's no reason why they would walk into a situation like that with him there. So That being said,
it does get a little dark at times.
Right, a little bit.
But it doesn't quite go as far
But even the first episode, they go and Mercy kill this kid, and along the way, that's going to die anyway.
Yeah. Was that
the mage?
Boy?
No, the mage.
The mage. She was like stabbed and she had poison in her.
Yeah, she was dying. There was nothing they could do. So he mercy killed her, and it's pretty dark, but it doesn't get that dark again.
Yeah, it really doesn't.
But yeah, so that's the other half of the premise. He saves her, and they wipe out the goblins. At the end of the episode, they kill goblin babies.
Yeah, that gets pretty damn dark. So he's killing all the goblins, and once they're all dead, he's like, okay, let's, he goes to search, and he opens up the door, and there's like three or four goblin babies inside this little cubbyhole.
And they bring up the moral dilemma the cleric does, but he's like, they're gonna grow.
Well, she brings it up and she says, you know, well, how are you gonna kill babies? Like, how do you know they're gonna be evil? Like, they could be good goblins. And he goes, well, maybe if you search your entire life, you'd find one good goblin.
Yeah.
But probably not. He throws a fucking torch on him. God damn, I love Goblin Slayer.
The show is very anti-goblin, and I was joking when we were watching it that this is goblin propaganda. It feels like propaganda against goblins, honestly, because how bad they're portrayed.
Kind of liked it, though.
I mean, it's very extreme.
It is, especially in the first episode.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah.
And then after that, him and her go on a couple quests.
Oh, that's what I wanted to bring up. So he saves her, and then she gets attached to him, and then they're pretty much partners, because no one really teams up with him because he's nuts.
Yeah, he's a little crazy, and he only goes after goblins. Once you get kind of experienced, it seems like the more monies and better adventuring quests is at least what it seems like. That being said, he has plenty of money to go around.
Yeah.
But I think that's probably because he does a crazy amount of goblin quests.
Yeah.
Like, he's not just doing one a day. He's probably doing two or three. And he's not the kind of guy to spend money.
That's what I was about to say. He doesn't seem like he repairs his armor, he sharpens his swords, he buys magic scrolls. That is it.
I think he actually found that magic scroll.
Nah.
I don't think he bought it.
I think big titted mage woman in the...
Yeah, she was deciphering it for him.
No, she got it for him. And
he brought it to her, and she did a favor for him, and she deciphered it because he didn't know how to read it.
No. What she did, she's linked it to where it was.
Yeah. So I don't think she owned it. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Later in the series, he goes to that armor and says, did you find any more scrolls?
Oh, then maybe he did.
That's why I guess I'm wrong. That's why I thought he bought it. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm wrong.
Maybe, I don't know. Either way, he doesn't really spend money on many things.
No.
Besides overpaying rent, he's probably got a lot of gold sitting around.
Right, yeah.
So when he goes to pay for something, like when he repaired his armor and repaired his cleric's chainmail, he just put a huge bag of gold on the counter. Yeah,
I don't care. Here you go. Here's all my money.
And in the very last episode, they really put what money's worth into perspective, because in the last episode, the guild puts up a quest, one gold per goblin head. There's a big battle. We'll get into that later. Well, at the very, very end, he only killed one goblin. It was the Goblin Lord, the head goblin.
Yep.
And his cleric helped him kill him. So when she's sleeping on his chest, he puts the gold in her hand, and she eventually wakes up, and she's like, are you sure? It's so much money. It's one piece of gold. Whereas before, he's hanging around this giant bags of gold he's given to people mm-hmm. to pay for things. So it really puts into perspective kind of how crazy he is, because one piece is a whole lot of money, and he's paying he's overpaying rent, like, in an insane amount.
Right. Well, I mean, to be fair, though, in D&D, it's proper. Gold is worth a lot of money.
It is. What I'm saying, not that that's outrageous, it's just his perception of money is weird.
Right. Yeah, well, he's weird.
Yeah. It just, it puts that more into, more for the viewer to see how weird he is.
So, I'm gonna say, the show is really good when it focuses on the goblins. And when they focus on the goblins, but anytime there's any downtime...
I would say really good when you're focusing on the goblins and how they're killing them and how they're going through the dungeon to get them. And when you see the lore of, like, the background stuff. Like, right. the guild. Anytime they're in the guild is kind of
right,
good.
Well, like, when they're...
But the dialogue kind of sucks.
When they're briefly focusing on different characters, like, there's these two amateur kids they focus on.
Yeah, that was a good little episode.
All the side characters are... There's not a hateable character in this. Even the ones who should
be... the one that should be, yes. The annoying one with the big armor and the spear who's... You're supposed to hate him. You end up kind of liking him.
Yeah, there's not really a hateable character in it, so I'm not saying that. But when, like, Goblin Slayer is sitting around just talking to the priestess girl, like, when they're talking about ice cream, it is so bad.
It's bad.
It's so bad. It's typical.
And again, part of his dialogue's fine, but everyone else's dialogue should be fine.
Right.
And it's not. It's fucking terrible.
No, it's so bad. I mean, it got to, like, points where it's, like, bad.
Remember the other priestess girl, the blind one? The one that has the blindfold? They're getting quests from her to go kill goblins in the city.
She was a hero from Pine Chest.
And she was raped by goblins and everything.
Right, that's a big deal.
Her dialogue's fucking... Everyone's dialogue's terrible. She goes to talk about her past. She's like, I was raped by goblins, blah, 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 blah. It's this... traumatic experience, and she's just rattling it off. It doesn't matter.
Well, it goes from over dramatic sometimes to stupid, like, simple, like, bad anime talk.
Because she's simplifying her experience, but she's at the same time she's also saying how traumatized she still is.
But the word she's using is in, like, an over grandiose way.
Yes.
So it's like they're trying to make it sound big, but they're doing a poor job at it.
I think it's the only drawback of the series is the dialogue.
Right.
What I think probably happened is that the person who created it, the light novel series, I forget his name, I said it earlier poorly, probably was a bad writer.
Oh, yeah.
He created a great story, created a great world, he created okay characters, and then the actual dialogue was fucking terrible. And for some reason, the anime studio, when they made it into an anime, just fucking copy-pasted it instead of kind of changing it up a bit and making it better.
I wouldn't say he's a bad writer, but every writer has things...
Writer of the dialogue, not the overall writing, but the conversations are pretty bad. Right.
Some people just can't write dialogue. They sound stilted and bad.
You'd think the anime studio would have been let's touch this up a little.
Or maybe it was good in the anime studio. It's like, we need to simplify this a little bit more. And
could have been the opposite, yeah.
Yeah, so who knows who's at fault here. But it's not good. It's like, what was the last... D&D, my grandson. Grandfather's nephew or something.
grandfather's grandson or something. I forget what it was.
Whatever it was.
We just watched it a couple
times. But the dialogue was...
Wise man's grandchild.
That's how bad the dialogue was. It was as bad as that.
Now, like I said, half of it is explained because half of it is straight coming from Goblin Slayer. And the other half is just terrible. You can't redeem it.
I'm not saying it's a bad show, but there was like...
It's grating sometimes.
Yeah, it's like, oh, come on.
It is. It's very bad sometimes. It takes this anime from what could be a 9 or a 10 to a fucking 8 or 7.
Yeah, it's a shame.
Everything else is great. The art's great. The fighting's great, you know, the plot's fine. Mm-hmm. I like that they're doing small world, you know, hometown issues.
Wow, bigger
instead
things.
Of doing the bigger things.
Yeah.
Which are still happening in the background.
Right.
Which is cool to see.
They're still showing them, though. There are, you do see monsters. You see a beholder at one point.
Mm-hmm. And they even fight the beholder. They just do it smartly.
They fight the beholder because they have to, though.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not because they want to.
I love how they did it because they took real-world things and implemented it into an anime or D&D setting. They took a pack of flour, I think it was, and, you know, poofed it into the air and then created a spark. Well, if no one knows this, powder is extremely explosive when it's in the air like that.
Right.
I've seen tons of videos of, like, grain silos that, a hole was in the wall and a bunch of it poofed out, and you better fucking run. That shit's blowing up. Yeah, there's a lot of good. We've been ragging on the dialogue a lot. There's a lot of good, though. The art's great. The fighting's great.
Because it stood out in a good show.
Yes, it did.
It did. It was right in your face because everything else around it was so good. It's like, why is this so bad? Mm-hmm. Although, there was another thing. The fan service was just way too much.
Oh, yeah, I wanted to bring that up. It's too much, but it's also few and far between. You get whole episodes with no fan service.
That's true.
And then when the fan service is there, like, if he's at home, his not his niece, but someone in the town, someone who's supposed to be his love interest.
Oh, his
who he lives with.
It was his best friend.
His best friend.
Yeah,
she... Red-haired girlfriend, her name.
They were from the same town. Remember in the flashbacks?
Yeah, yeah.
Where there were kids?
Yeah, that's her.
Yeah, but she gets sent away to the city mm-hmm. in that flashback.
Everyone else gets raped and murdered. She lives, he lives.
Because she was out of the city. Mm-hmm. That's the whole story.
Yes.
So, yeah.
So he's living with her and her uncle. He was driving
the car to the city. But she is constantly naked.
But my point is, so, like, he'll be outside fixing a fence or something with all his armor on in the middle of summer or whatever it is. Uh-huh. And there'll be a window open, and she'll go to the window from the inside and have these ginormous, like, Triple H tits just hanging over the ledge.
Yeah.
It's a bit ridiculous.
And she's shown naked so many times.
Well, naked in the sense that she doesn't have clothes on. You're not actually seeing it.
Well, no,
you
just
see a lot of skin.
I know. I didn't say it was gratuitous, but she was still
naked. It is gratuitous.
I mean, yeah. But, I mean, they're not showing, like, full frontal and stuff
like
that.
Yeah, it's not Queensland. You're not seeing nipple. You're not seeing anything like that. But you are seeing an extreme amount of skin.
And then, you know, later on where they go to this water town and they're taking missions from the blind priestess mm-hmm. who was a hero, her tits are humongous too.
Her tits are humongous, and they, especially with her, with the other ones, they didn't do this really, but with her, she's got her nipples pointing out uh-huh. of her clothing the entire time. She's always got hard nipples, apparently.
Right. And then they even sexualized the 15-year-old priestess girl.
Quite a bit, yeah. Well, 15-ish, we don't know how old she is.
I mean,
she looks like a 15-year-old compared to everyone else.
I mean, in D&D world, 15 seems to be a venture in age, so...
Well, in D&D world, if D&D was real, it would take place in the, 1200s?
1400s.
Exactly. So, back then, 13, you got your period, it's time to make a baby and you're getting married to a 35-year-old man. Like, that's just how life was. So, it makes sense in this aspect of the anime. But the issue is we see it so often in anime, it's a problem.
Uh-huh. And they even show her and the blind priestess in a spa place for some reason.
Yeah, that
was it. And then when they resurrect him, because he gets killed at one point.
He wasn't killed.
No, they mentioned
resurrection multiple times, but they never said he was killed, just gravely wounded.
No, he died, and the only way they could resurrect it
was
is
the virgin?
Virgin lying in your bed, and the priestess with you. Because she says...
Is that what it was?
Yeah, because she says, that blind priestess, how does it feel to share a bed with me and her? and they're both naked.
For some reason they had to be naked in the bed with
them.
That's how it works in that world. I think that was just a reason for you to see some skin.
I don't know why. I don't think that's how resurrection works, but okay.
Yeah, yeah. So that was actually something I wanted to bring up. It definitely works differently. I'm fine with it working that way.
Sure. You're going to be in some trouble if you run out of virgins, though.
I was going to say, what are you going to keep your cleric priestess as a virgin forever? That's pretty fucked up. You're in our party, you can't take any dick from now on. Forever.
However, that blind priestess said she would still be a virgin if it wasn't for goblins.
Yeah, maybe that's something they take on, like you become a nun, you're choosing to do it.
Yeah, so, I mean, she said she was not pure, that's why she couldn't do it herself. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, maybe.
Does rape count? That's fucked up. Fuck you, God. It's not her choice.
Apparently it counts.
That's fucking terrible.
You're no longer pure because someone else forced
you. You let goblins come inside you, you piece of shit. What the fuck? Anyway. Yeah, I mean, there's a couple little quests, and then there's the big quest at the end where, I wouldn't even call it a quest. He's in his hometown, and he sees goblin tracks.
Well, each quest is progressively more, they introduce a new
tougher
goblin.
And you know. Oh, they introduce other characters that are sent to find Goblin Slayer because he's renowned for killing goblins.
Oh, right.
They're from each one of these people are from, the Federation of whatever they call it. The different nations are banding together to stop the evil threat that's trying to terrorize the world.
It's an elf, a dwarf, and a dragonborn. Yes. Or no, a lizard man. Sorry.
Well, they come to get him because he's renowned and they need to protect the towns and stuff from goblins.
Because the army will not devote soldiers to fight goblins.
Because there's world-threatening issues at the moment.
They even mentioned, like, there being that the city is... The water city is overrun by goblins underneath the city. People are getting murdered in the streets, and, like, the fucking goblins are not doing anything about it.
Well, yes, but also because there's serious world-ending threats.
But there was no serious world-ending threats in that city at that time, besides the goblins. It doesn't matter
that they're in the city. Everyone that's there in the military isn't there.
No.
They're off fighting the war.
Like, they said they won't even send the town watch to do it.
Yeah, it's the town watch. They're probably not capable. You see how threatening these goblins are.
No, that's not what they're implying. They're implying...
Either way, it doesn't matter.
They imply that the government doesn't feel that goblins are a big enough threat that they need to deploy anything for it. Let adventurers take care of it.
Well, that does continue with the show's main theme, that goblins are this weak little thing until you actually go fight them.
They make the government seem incompetent in this world.
Well, they are always incompetent.
Yeah, but, I mean, really, really incompetent. Like, they don't know what they're talking about.
But fairly normal for governments. But, anyway, so they get that party together, and they go and they do that big quest that they need to do together.
So, yeah, I mean...
And then they kind of stick with them. Yeah, they kind of like them, and they stick together and keep doing goblin quests.
The story is the goblins there going from a loner to developing a party.
Yes. And at the very end, he agrees to do a regular adventure.
Right. And
that's not just goblins.
Pretty much growing as a person and stuff like that.
Becoming less and less insane.
Yeah, it's typical, you know...
There is one other potential rape scene that does happen. She doesn't actually get raped, but the elf...
Oh, yeah.
When they're doing that big quest, all her clothes gets ripped off, which is kind of... I mean, it's not untypical for the show, because you see it in the very first episode.
Yeah.
But it's been, like, 4 or 5 episodes since that's happened.
Right.
And there's no suggestion that it was going to happen again. And then, bam, her clothes are ripped off, and she gets up, she doesn't actually get raped, but then she's firing off arrows for the rest of the show.
Without a shirt.
Without a shirt or pants.
Yeah.
So they're just, putting, like, the bow in the way of her tits, so you don't see them.
Exactly. You know, the goblins systematically defeated every one of them in that one episode, and that's...
Yeah,
they
were losing. Them. Yeah.
They were losing, and they wanted to show, I guess, you know, how dangerous goblins are.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know.
And then it continues to the last two episodes where he finds the tracks.
I wanted to mention each quest that they show from the Goblin Slayer, they systematically get stronger and stronger and stronger villains.
The goblins, yeah.
Yeah, so like there's, I think, the Hobgoblin in the first one, and then there's the Ogre, and then there's the Beholder, and then...
There's like a giant one. Was it the Ogre? There's like the giant one that Goblin Slayer against the wall, and
she had to give him potions, I think.
That was the first mission where they were all together.
Right. So, you know what I just realized? They said that someone was helping the goblins in the water city underneath the town. I don't remember who it was. Do you?
No.
Was it the blind priestess who set the whole thing up, I think? Wasn't that the whole big deal?
Was it? She didn't get arrested if it was.
No, she didn't.
Maybe it was. I don't know.
Because I think Goblin Slayer found out that she set it up because she hated goblins so much because of what they did to her.
So she just wanted them to all die? So how do you do that?
She discovered that they were around or something, so she like gave them the portal or something and then hired Goblin Slayer? I don't know.
I actually don't remember.
Yeah, I know. It was a weird storyline.
Gotta rewatch.
I'm not rewatching.
And then, what else was there? More missions?
Oh, yeah, that was pretty much it. After that, the goblin pretty much followed the goblin lord at that point.
And they had a bunch of hobgoblins in that one. They had the big goblin. Yeah. Then they had goblins and wolves in that last episode.
But they portray, like, goblins are usually in, like, caves or castles and stuff like that. And at the end, they're out in the open. They're about to overrun his home, which means there's 100 goblins or something like that.
Because there's a goblin lord.
Because there's a goblin lord. And he can't do it on his own.
Well, it's just too many.
Yeah.
So if they were in a cave, he said before, he can handle it.
Yeah, if it was 100, he can handle 100 goblins in a cave. But out in the open, by himself, he just can't do it.
Oh, and so two things. One thing, after he gets that party together and he's kind of questing with them for a little while, and once they see the tactics he uses, they restrict his tactics. He can't use fire to kill him, because like he said before, I'll create a fire at the entrance of a cave and just smoke him to death, or he'll drown him, or something else.
Poison, or
he'll poison him.
So he's not...
And they find those tactics inhumane, apparently.
I guess.
They don't really say, they just say you can't use that anymore.
The elf girl that is with them says she's not allowed to use fire, water, or poison. So the rest of the series, he's just finding different ways to kill goblins without using fire, water, or poison.
Which he still kind of did, because after they had that, he didn't know what to do, and there was a boat of goblins, and he jumped on the boat, and the lizard guy's there, and they're all killing them and hacking them, but there's too many. So he goes, oh, there's water. Just push them over the edge. He still used water to fucking kill him. He just, they were pushing a lot of them over the edge and they drowned.
Yeah, but technically they didn't do that. What ended up happening is the crocodile came and ate them.
Eventually, but they did still punch and kick a lot of them off the edge.
I guess.
So, yeah. But it's funny how they're restricting him. He's so effective. Is he really? Because now he's got restrictions. And then at the very end, he's fighting the Goblin Lord. He runs off by himself.
Well, he,
Well, not by himself. He runs off with the priestess.
Well, he doesn't really run off. He, first of all, he has to recruit all the other adventurers.
He does all that.
Like, and all the other adventurers,
and
like,
he's sort of telling them what to do.
It was like that big inspiration moment where no one wants to work with him, and then he convinces everyone to work with him because, you know, they're all adventurers. And then the guild puts up a gold coin for each goblin, no matter what kind of goblin it was. So that was funny.
Well, that actually works out a little bit because usually they showed earlier quests are, let's say you're the mayor of a town or the constable, whatever, you're the head figure in the town. Let's say you have goblins attacking, or, you know, maybe they're raiding and they come and they go and they come and they go. Well, you got a problem. So you get, you collect a reward, you bring it to the Adventurers Guild, and you say, hey, put up this quest, here's the reward. They showed that. But there's, apparently, they showed in the second to last episode, there's another kind of quest where the Adventurer Guild can put up a quest.
Right.
They didn't show that before, so that was interesting.
Well, they also, it's based on information from an adventurer of high rank, too.
Yes.
Goblin Slayer is technically a silver rank.
Where do you get the money from it? I guess you tax each quest a little bit, and the guild gets a little bit, and then they build it up, and
maybe
then, you know, maybe they find a quest that no one is putting up a reward for, but it has to be done.
Right, that's what I think the Adventurer Guild, there's monsters, something's got to be done about it, we'll put up the reward because no one else will. Because, like, if monsters are overrunning, like, an area that has no civilization or anybody there, but it needs to be taken care of, like, they would have to do something. Mm. So it makes sense.
Well, he's fighting the Goblin Lord, and, well, he, before he's actually fighting them, he's missing. And someone goes, where's Goblin Slayer? And another one's like, huh, where do you think? And then someone else is like, killing goblins.
Yeah. But
that's just bad.
But that we already went over the dialogue. he set up the tactics for the entire, this giant battle for the last two episodes.
So something happens, they're like, oh, look, it's happening just like he said.
Right. So all the adventurers are fighting all the goblins, and he went off to go after the Goblin Lord. Well, no, actually, he went and took care of the Goblin Lord's nest, because he was just going to go back after his Goblin Lord, when he loses, was going back to the nest and repopulate, essentially. So Goblin Slayer went and destroyed the nest and then came after him.
Yeah, so he starts fighting it, but you find out at the very end, as he's getting his face stomped in, that he didn't come by himself. He actually set up with the cleric to create protection. She can do three spells a day.
Well, yeah, she got progressively stronger throughout.
Like, but she could still only do three.
Yeah, but she's gotten better at how she uses them.
And how strong they are.
Yes. So, I mean, I don't know, maybe she just
needs... Maybe she could do five weaker ones, but three is really what they need.
Or maybe she just didn't reach the level where she keeps more spell slots.
Yeah, that's true. So, he's getting his face kicked in, pretty much. And he's about to get an axe in his back, and she creates a wall of protection in front of the goblin, right in front of him, and one right behind him, squeezing him. After Goblin Slayer broke his dagger or sword off into his chest just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So the walls are kind of pushing on him and pushing the sword deeper into him. And then, you know, he gets up and he kills him.
I thought you were going somewhere. You wanted to explain something specific.
No, it was just interesting that he didn't go by himself, you know. That's the progression. He's now relying on someone.
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's a typical fantasy story for the year.
But there is good story progression,
it's not bad.
Story progression, and by story, this specific one, I mean for the character progression. It's pretty rare in anime.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of times characters don't progress, actually. They just kind of go with the story, but it's the same person from episode 30 from episode 1.
Right.
Which kind of sucks.
You know what I just realized? Spell slots in this, the amount of spells they can use, is highly inconsistent.
Yeah.
Like, the dwarf and the lizard person's also spellcasters, but 1 minute they got like 20 spells, the next minute, oh no, I'm out of spells! Whenever the plot...
That does happen a lot.
Plots
the only part that makes a little bit of sense is with the lizard, he says he has to have components for his spells.
Right.
So there's that.
Yeah, I don't know.
But the dwarf, that was fairly inconsistent. The most consistent one was actually, what's her name? The cleric. She's like, I have three.
Yep, I only have three.
I've used one, got two left.
It was easy to keep track of, yeah. The other ones are like, I got 10 here, or I, well, now I'm at zero.
Mm-hmm.
I only got two left now.
They could probably be using them off screen a little.
Yeah.
Because, like, there's a battle scene, and then you're following one character, but that'll still happen.
It's just kind of funny. In one scene, he's like, I got eight. Next scene, I'm out of spells. You didn't use a single spell on screen.
Yeah, you got to use them on screen. So that's bad.
It is what it is.
From the studio. How do you rate it? I was thinking if the dialogue was good, 9 or 10, because I really like it, but the dialogue is so bad, and I notice it very much on my second watch.
Well, let me ask you this. If you compared it to something like Eden of the East or Full Metal Paddock, would you like it better or worse?
About the same.
So then it would be an 8 for you.
Yeah, I feel it's 8.
Yeah, they all have...
It would be higher, just that dialogue really f***ed it.
Yeah, it's got... That dialogue really, really brings it down, man. It's a shame.
But can't wait for second season, can't wait for the movie to be dubbed. I'll enjoy it.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's about an 8. So, I mean, how do you compare it to your other two picks?
My Hero Academia and what else?
Gundam 00.
Gundam 00. My Hero Academia is at the top. I would put this than Gundam 00, but I like them all. I like them all a lot. Like, none. I'm not... Normally, when we rank like that, there's a clear bad one.
Mm-hmm.
There's no bad one for me.
Yeah. I have the same order, but the clear bad one to me is Gundam 00.
For obvious reasons.
Yeah. I mean, I railed on that one for, like, an hour.
Well, we got close to 40 minutes on this one.
Yeah, I mean, we're not done yet, though.
Well, we're about done.
Right. Yeah, it's true. So, yeah, I mean, there's no wheel this week because it's my pick.
Yes. End of the alphabet, so the I pick the new picks.
So, my pick is obviously going to be Book 3 of Avatar.
Can't wait till that's done.
So, Sean's excited.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, but we're going to finish off Avatar, and then...
Then watch the live-action movie.
No, we're not.
Why not?
Yeah, if you want to go that way, there's still a whole nother series.
Yeah, we're not watching that, Jesus Christ.
So, Legend of Korra. Yeah, Legend of Korra, so...
Alright, guys, next episode, Book 3.
Of Avatar The Last Airbender. Sean's going to love it.
Can't wait.
Bye.
Bye.